On Wednesday nights, we've been doing character studies of individuals, both in the Old and New Testaments. Individuals, primarily those who there's not a lot said about them specifically. Looking at what we do have, looking at their character primarily, and then gaining application of these individuals in areas of our own lives that we can emulate them to be more faithful servants to God. Last couple of Wednesday nights, we've actually looked at issues regarding Israel. And this last Wednesday night, we studied Caleb. And we looked at Caleb, and as we were talking in our study about Caleb, there was also the reference to children of Israel being led up out of Egypt and how God's might and his power had been shown. And of course, that led Caleb and Joshua to be absolutely fervent in their acknowledgement of the power of God and the understanding that God will lead us to victory in Canaan. They were the only two of the spies to acknowledge that God will give us this land. They are but bread, as Caleb said, regarding the inhabitants of Canaan. It was also mentioned during the course of that study that God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and in fact, through the 40 years in the wilderness afterwards, he led them regarding with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the pillar of, let's start with the cloud, the pillar of cloud and what it may have looked like. Maybe it looked like this. This great big long white just stream of cloud starting from close to the ground, going all the way up into the sky. And of course, as it led the children of Israel, that's kind of the picture depicted here. Here's all the people just kind of following this cloud. Maybe it looked like that. Maybe it looked like something like this. Something similar, but maybe even more imposing. Wide, broad, big, something you could see from miles away. Something that everyone would know when they looked at it as it moved, that this is, especially for the Hebrews, this is the power of Jehovah. What about the pillar of fire? The pillar of fire led them by night, and of course, one of the reasons why it was fire was it gave them the means by which they were able to see. So what did this pillar of fire look like? Did it look like a spiraling tornado? That's kind of what these two kind of, and that's kind of always the picture I've had in my head, was kind of like a spiraling tornado. It doesn't say it was a whirlwind or a twister or anything like that. It just says pillar of fire. So maybe it was just something like that. Not necessarily a tornado or anything, just a pillar of fire. Maybe it was had fire and maybe there was smoke kind of billowing out. It kind of brings to your imagination what this may have looked like for the children of Israel. We're not given a lot of details on what it looked like, but what we're told is that God led his people both in using a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And this morning, for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about this pillar of cloud and fire and applications we can gain from the account and the records of this pillar of cloud and fire, applications we can gain from it as well. The first thing that we want to consider is the fact, just as God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he led them through the Red Sea, he led them to victory against Jericho, and of course, certainly he led them through 40 years in the wilderness using this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. God continues to lead us. He provides light to us as well. In Exodus chapter 13 and in verse 20, we're told that they took their journey from Succoth and camped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Now, that being the case, the fact that God for his people, always provided the means for them to know where they were supposed to go. When we say they wandered in the wilderness, it wasn't like they were all wandering around not knowing where they were going or what they were doing. And it wasn't like they were ants scattering. There was an organization to it. When God said go, they went. When God said stop, they stopped. God was with them the entire way through those 40 years in the wilderness. So when we say they wandered, they went from place to place, but they weren't without direction. They weren't without guidance from God, and neither are we. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Just as the children of Israel were given guidance in this very literal and observable pillar of cloud and fire, we are given guidance. Jesus himself says, "Anyone who desires to come after me." Well, this has been true for all time, that anyone who desired to follow after Jehovah, he gave the means by which they could do so. He gave them his word. Certainly in the patriarchal and mosaical laws, that word was given. He, in literal ways, guided them. And now, through his Son, God continues to guide us by telling us, if we want to come after him, let us deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily. And of course, that recognition of that daily struggle, that daily carrying about the Lord Jesus Christ in ourselves, of acknowledging that we too seek to follow him. In John chapter 10 and in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Earlier in John chapter 10, Jesus referred to himself as the great shepherd. And the fact that his sheep know him, and he keeps them safe. Well, God has always known his people. Those who seek to follow him, he has provided the means by which they can do so. And even now, God continues to provide light to us. No, not in a pillar of fire, but through his word. In Psalm 119, and in the 103rd verse, the psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word," verse 105, "is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments." But you see, we can't just define for ourselves how we want to follow after Jehovah. God leads, he provides light to those who want to follow him, but the conditions upon which we follow him, notice in all of these verses, "Let him deny himself and follow me." John 10, "The sheep hear my voice." And even the psalmist here, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." What must we do then if we seek to follow after God and follow after Jesus? We must submit and follow. Not just determine or define for ourselves how I'm going to follow. Not define for ourselves what I'm going to do to worship God. I must submit to what God tells me to do. In Numbers chapter 9 and in verse 15, Numbers chapter 9 and in verse 15, notice with me how this worked, especially with the tabernacle of meeting. In verse 15, this is describing this pillar of cloud and fire, and notice the consistent nature. "Now on the day," verse 15, "that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night." Verse 17, "Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped." Okay, we get the idea. They followed the cloud. He doesn't stop there, Moses. In verse 20, "So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the commandment of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. Okay, Moses, we get it. Verse 21, so it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Okay, we get it. We get it, Moses. Verse 22, whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, that cloud remained above the tabernacle. The children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. Gotcha, Moses. Verse 23, at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. We got it, Moses. What did we get? Moses is repeating himself a lot? No, what we got is the emphasis over and over by the command of the Lord. Over and over and over, the command of the Lord is emphasized. They kept the charge of the Lord, verse 23. This is important because it shows the willingness of the people to obey him in the fact that as he guided them, he commanded them to be obedient. They understood this. They recognized this. And for all time, the people who seek to serve God don't just get to decide what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. The commands that we'll obey that we like versus the commands that we really don't like, these commands. So we're just going to pick and choose which ones we're going to use. Notice how Moses emphasized that it wasn't at the people's whim whether they left or they stopped. It wasn't at Moses' determination whether they journeyed or whether they camped. God determined, and the people obeyed. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and in verse 11, Nehemiah chapter 9 and in verse 11, Nehemiah, as he is has come to Jerusalem. He has seen the state of affairs. He was given that report back in chapter 1. He's been allowed to come to Jerusalem. The effort is going to be to take into account what needs to be done and rebuild Jerusalem. Well, they're praising God here in chapter 9. They're kind of offering up this prayer of God and a rededication to God. And here in verse 11, he says, and you divided, he's talking to God in this kind of prayer for the people, you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors you threw into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them day by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they should travel. Verse 16, notice what Nehemiah acknowledges. But they and our fathers acted proudly. They hardened their necks and did not heed your commandments. In the process of this rededication prayer, so to speak, he acknowledges not only the sins of the fathers and the ancestors before them, but also the sins that they had committed currently. Later on in Nehemiah, he addresses, and now here we are, and we need your mercy. Over and over, we're given example of Israel in numbers doing what God told them to do. But then there were times where they hardened their necks and did not heed the commandments of the Lord. All those who seek to follow God must obey His commandments, and they must obey the commandments as He's given them, not as how people want them to be. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, John writes to the saints and says, now by this we know him, if, here's your conditional, if we keep his commandments. Which is to say, as John goes on to say, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know if we are that we are in him. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he, Christ, walked. Notice the consideration that John has in mind, the commandments of the Lord. Here's how you know if you're in him. Here's how you know if you know him. Here's how you can tell if he keeps the commandments of God. Just the commandments I like, all of them. In John chapter 14 and in verse 15, oh, I thought I changed that. John chapter 14, it should be verse 15. I caught it earlier and I thought I changed it. Apparently I didn't. It should be verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Religious people all over the world say they love Jesus. They love Christ. Oh, I love him, I love him. And they may feel something. But what does Jesus say? Well, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. If you love me, what will I therefore do? I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll do what Jesus tells me. In John chapter 15 and in verse 10, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And what did John say earlier in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6? He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How did Jesus walk? He loved his Father. He kept his commandments, so he abided in his Father's love. That same pattern is given to us regarding Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3, John says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And notice what else he adds to that. And his commandments are not burdensome. Now he doesn't say that they're easy. He doesn't say that. He says they're not burdensome, which is to say you are capable of fulfilling all of the commandments the Lord has given you. God has not stacked the deck against you. He hasn't made his commandments such that nobody can keep it perfectly. He hasn't done that. He has given you the commandments, and they are not burdensome. In 2 John chapter, well, there's only one chapter. 2 John verse 6, John says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What's the commandment? That you walk according to his commandments. This is love. Over and over again, even in the New Testament, despite the claims of many in the religious world that there is no more law, that there are no more commandments, the Ten Commandments have been done away with, which is true, but they make that case to say there are no more commandments. And yet over and over again in the New Testament, we're reminded by Jesus himself, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God's people, those who seek to follow him, must obey. They must not be as those fathers before, as Nehemiah acknowledged, who acted proudly, hardened their necks, and disobeyed God. Thirdly, God protects and provides for those who will submit and follow him. You know, a lot of times we focus on the aspects of the pillar of cloud and fire in leading. But did you know that God used the pillar of cloud and fire to protect his people too? In Exodus chapter 14 and in verse 19, notice how we're given the account of the children of Israel as they are escaping Egypt. It says, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Verse 20, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Verse 24, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. You keep on reading about all the things he did to their chariots and so forth. But it's recorded for us by Moses that God looked through the pillar of cloud and fire and he troubled the army of Egypt. Not only did God lead with the pillar of cloud and fire, he protected with the pillar of cloud and fire. And God continues, yes, to lead, but also to protect his people. In Psalm 105 and in verse 37, Psalm 105 and in verse 37, the psalmist says, he also brought them out with silver and gold. There was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock. The water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. This obviously kind of a rundown of all of the ways in which God was with his people and blessed his people, took care of his people. He was mindful to watch out for his people. Going back to Nehemiah chapter 9, and in verse 16 again, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, it's lengthy reading, but if you have a chance today or this week, read verses 16 through the end of the chapter. It is an excellent prayer, obviously, is part of what it is, from Nehemiah on behalf of the people to God. But it reminds the people that this is what our fathers used to do. This is how they acted before. And Nehemiah goes through how time and time and time again, the people would turn to God and obey God and submit to God, and God would take care of them. And then they would just kind of decide, you know what, everything's good. We don't need to follow God anymore. So everything would fall apart. Starting in verse 17, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and you did not forsake them. Verse 18, even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor did the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Verse 22, moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations. Verse 23, you multiplied their children as the stars of heaven. Verse 25, they took strong cities and a rich land. Verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets. Verse 27, therefore you delivered them to the hand of their enemies. Verse 28, but after they had rest, they again did evil before you. The rest of verse 27 describes how that God offered deliverers to rescue them. Verse 28. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven. And many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. That's why God did what he did, to bring them back. Now, go down to verse 32. Nehemiah says, now therefore, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and on all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully. We have done wickedly. So in verse 36, he says, "Here we are, servants today. And the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it." Verse 38, "Because of all of this, we make a sure covenant and write it, our leaders, our Levites, and our priests to seal it." Nehemiah and the people were rededicating themselves to the Lord. As they had come and were rededicating Jerusalem and the temple, they were rededicating their commitment to following the Lord. And Nehemiah goes through a very detailed account how that God continually was merciful and patient. Even when he punished them by the hands of other nations, he did it to bring them back over and over and over. God continues to watch over his people today. There is a sense in which there are obviously physical aspects to this. There are physical blessings we gain from the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul tells Timothy to command those Christians who are wealthy or rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Every good thing, every physical blessing we have, we must thank God for it because he's given it to us to enjoy. We must be mindful of that fact that God continues to take care of us, especially in this country, in this land, with the abundance of blessings that we have. But the most important aspect, in fact, the very important aspect that Nehemiah brought out of all of the physical blessings, what did Nehemiah focus on? "You did all of this to bring your people back to the law." Because the most important way in which God takes care of us and guides us is spiritually. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 18, Paul, as he is nearing the end of his life, he knows he's going to be martyred. He writes to Timothy and he says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom." Was Paul saying that God is going to get me out of this situation I'm in? He's not going to let Nero kill me? That's not what Paul was saying. Paul had already addressed the fact that he's going to be killed. What Paul addresses is his soul state. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Man can only do so much. He can't take my soul. God will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Paul knew that ultimately his soul is preserved by God. It would be protected by God no matter what happens in this life. Final point for you this morning is the fact that what we find in the example of the pillar of cloud and fire is that God is constant. In Exodus chapter 13 and in verse 22, we read verse 20 and 21. Well, in Exodus chapter 13 and in verse 22, we're told that God did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. What did we read going forward in Numbers chapter 9? Over and over and over again, Moses emphasized that pillar of cloud and fire was always there. Even in the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, that pillar of cloud and fire was there. It was a constant reminder of the Lord's presence. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and in verse 5, after Nehemiah receives the report of what the situation is in Jerusalem and how the walls were torn down, he offers up a prayer to God. And Nehemiah says, "I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments." And he continues to go through in his prayer. But notice the characteristic of God that he brings out. You who keep your covenant. You who keep your mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. The reason why Nehemiah knew this character of the Lord, he knew that this is who God is, was because of the very nature of the fact that God has shown it time and time and time again, going all the way back to Abraham and before. Nehemiah wasn't just saying this, hoping it was true. He had the detailed evidence to back it up. He knew that since all the way from before Abraham, you have been constant. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 6, where God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. He doesn't change. Think about that for a minute. God doesn't change. I know I've changed just in a year. We all change. That's life. Life is change. God does not change. His character is the same character now as it was thousands of years ago with Abraham. He hasn't changed. He's the same God now as was with Moses and the children of Israel. The same God now as he was with David and Elijah. He's the same God now as he was with Paul and Peter and Timothy and Titus. And as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, notice what Paul says about his knowledge of Jehovah. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. How do you know him, Paul? What do you know about him, Paul? Paul knows the character of Jehovah. He knows how he's constant, how he does not change, and how that God is worthy to be trusted with our soul. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I know. In Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 5. Read with me what God tells Joshua. He says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I mean, that sends shivers up my spine just reading it. It brings tears to my eyes just imagining the great swell of confidence that this must have given Joshua. To think about God, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But what's the condition? You must observe my law. That's what God tells us to do now. If we seek to follow him, if we say we love him, we must obey his commandments. The last passage for you this morning in John chapter 8. And in verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I suggest to you now that through the Scriptures, Jesus is our pillar of cloud and fire. He is our beacon, and it is through Him we follow the Father, knowing, just as the children of Israel knew, that their final destination was the land of Canaan, the land of promise. We have a land of promise as well. The true promised land, a home in heaven. But we must be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. Are you prepared to follow Jesus this morning? Are you prepared to do whatever it takes? Make whatever changes that need to be made in your life to make sure you are right in the sight of God? You can do that this morning. If you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away, or if you need to ask for the prayers of God because of sin in your life, we are here to help you. Come and follow Jesus as we stand and sing.